And then when we finally decided to give it a go, we had our first miscarriage, and I was nearly 3 months just when we had that. And I just remember feeling like I had failed, like something was wrong with me. And I was on red carpets wearing an adult diaper and people asking me when I was going to have a child. And don't wait too long because you're getting older and you're literally just dealing with a miscarriage. The doorbell rang and it was this guy from DHL came to the door and he just looked at me. He was really awkward. Normally we banter for hours, like he's great. And then I walked inside and I was like, that was really strange. Anyway, about no word of a lie, an hour later, I go to the bathroom. I have shit all over my face. Baby shit all over my face.
Hi, I'm Keshni Kemp and I'm the editor of Who Magazine. This is our podcast, Raw Talks. Raw and unedited, we'll peel back the layers to reveal the friend, the mum, the wife, the partner, the person behind the brand. Today on the podcast, we're speaking with Nikki Phillips about suffering in silence after miscarriage, her unconventional birth, and her most embarrassing mum moment so far. Hi, Nikki Phillips. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You're about to pop.
Could you tell? I know, right? Any day, I'm 2 weeks away from due date. But doctors have said that it can go at any moment.
Well,
so
we've got some
this
towels.
Could be a fun podcast.
I hope so. How are you preparing differently for baby number two?
I think you're not so actively thinking about it, to be quite honest, with a 19-month-old at home who's keeping me very entertained and very busy, and then obviously still working, still got jobs lined up for next week, the week before I'm meant to give birth. So I think this time around, it goes really quickly because you're not, I mean, with Jet, my first child, I was constantly thinking about it, constantly thinking about the day he arrives, constantly thinking about what he looks like, what my life is going to be like, how am I going to juggle everything? And this time I feel really bad because it's not until he makes a massive move or, you know, I'm just kind of like I have to lie down and sit down. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm pregnant. I'm about to have baby number two and my life is about to become more chaotic than it is. So it's frightening, but it's good that I haven't had a chance to really think about two under two, which I think is all scary. The moment I say that out loud, I start to shake and think, what have I done? But I'll embrace it.
What do you think you'll do differently this time around?
That's a really good question. I think I look at Jet and I'm pretty proud of everything that I have done with him. And I was really lucky, though. He was a good kid. So me saying that kind of lifts me up on a pedestal a little bit. But he was a pretty good baby and a pretty good kid. But differently, I think I need to – I think with Jet, it was learning the juggle. That really was something I didn't cope with at first. So I think this time around I know – what I'm in for, and I think going back to work is going to be a lot smoother and a lot easier, hopefully, because I've done it before and I know what to expect, because leaving your little baby is so hard and you feel so much regret. So I think this time around I'll be able to sort of have a better conscience and, you know, be able to kind of move forward back into a work routine easier, hopefully.
And you probably know what you need this time around. You know, when I had Xander, I didn't really know what kind of support I needed until I got there. Now you know this time around when you're feeling like this, you need this, or, you know, you probably have a better idea of the steps to take.
Totally. I mean, when you first have your first child, you kind of don't want to let go of them. You feel like you're learning every step. I mean, you get so many people trying to give you knowledge and information, but I think you yourself have to learn, and it's one of those processes as you go along. You're learning something every day. They're different from every other child, so, you know, they're teaching you, you're teaching yourself. So I think this time around I've just got to go with the flow. I mean, you really have to. He's going to be so different from Jet. He already is so different from Jet from what we're seeing birth weight. I mean, he's already Jet's birth weight, which is terrifying. Terrifying. So this one clearly likes the carbs that I've been eating. So, you know, it's going to be a completely little different human, and just got to go with the flow.
Did you have Jet naturally?
No, I had to have a cesarean. We had multiple complications from a split placenta, which I didn't even know was a thing. But it wasn't a complete half tear. It was a tiny tear. So it wasn't too alarming for him. He was still getting his nutrients and everything was fine regarding him. But I couldn't give birth naturally, obviously, because there was two of them and if one came out before the baby or blah, 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 it would have been a nightmare. And also if they leave some behind, blah, blah, blah. And also I suffered hernias from jet, just with the pressure. Mm-hmm. That's happening again this time around. Mm-hmm. So
they've told you
they've told me that I have to have a C again. So mm-hmm. I've been checked and everything. So yeah.
I'll be the same. I had a C the first time. Yeah. I'll have to go see again. But I was surprised actually by the C, how peaceful it was, because I really wanted to give birth naturally.
The best time of my life.
It's so peaceful.
It's so strange. Like, I hear all these horror stories about birth and the pushing and the pain, and I was asking for a group selfie. I mean, I was asking to like outdo Ellen DeGeneres and do a group birthing selfie. I mean, how ridiculous is that? And it wasn't until my obstetrician turned around and went, Nikki, maybe after, we've already started. I then had a complete panic attack and was like, so no selfie. Okay, we've started. Oh my gosh, there's a baby coming. But I can't feel anything. Like, well, I was so confused. And my husband, Dame, was just looking at me going, oh my God, someone calm her down. Someone like put something in her drip. Like, what is going on? And I just remember my obstetrician turning around and saying to me, because my husband is scared of any drop of blood. Mm-hmm. So we had a backup plan. If he fainted, I could watch Jet, you know, be born. And my obstetrician just thought he'd throw Dane under the bus and be like, are you ready to meet your son? So we thought he was already out. They dropped the curtain and my obstetrician pulls up Jet's hand and starts waving and going, hi, Mum, hi, Dad. And Dane and I were just like, oh, my gosh, that's our son. We weren't even, you know, terrified that he was still on my stomach or anything. It was the most incredible moment of our lives. And we have all these images and all these photos. Clearly our birthing was a, like, comedy. But it was the best experience of my life. And I'm so excited to do it again because I know what to expect.
Yes, yeah.
And I had a smile on my face from, like, the beginning to the end. I mean, I still have a smile on my face. But it was the most, like, comical, funny, like, lovable, like, so many emotions in what felt like 15 minutes
totally so quick. And I was watching in the mirror the reflection, so I could see it happening. The process, like, I could see them, I could see the cut, I could see the open.
I've heard about this.
Everything, but I loved it.
I've heard about this, and I was looking for the mirror, but there was no mirror.
Probably they banned all that from my room.
It was the reflection in the light.
Oh, no way.
So it was just, because it was all metallic, I could see everything. So I felt really calm, because I like seeing that kind of stuff. So I felt really quite calm, because the OB was telling me what was happening the whole way, and I could actually see it happening as well. Goodness. But yeah, it was pretty amazing. It was pretty surreal to go in there. Know what time it is, have the epi or the blocker go in, and then you've got this baby.
I know.
It's like from 9 to 9:30. It was pretty amazing.
It's pretty incredible. So I'm excited to go through that again, but they have told me if my waters waters break, I will have to have a cesarean, so I have to go straight to the hospital. So I'm kind of like, at the moment, I know my date, so I don't like being put off, so I'm sitting there poking him every day going, you behave. I know what we're in for.
Hold the fort.
Two more weeks, come on, relax.
Do you remember those early – I think we kind of forget the early days of when the tough stuff was, like the sleepless nights. Because we have the joy of the growth and the next steps and the little things that they're learning, we forget those early first weeks. Yeah. Are you starting to remember those now that it's imminent?
It's been brought to my attention because our neighbours have just had they've got a four-month-old little girl. Mm-hmm. So I just forget how small they are. And I was chatting with her on the weekend and she was like, how do you entertain a newborn? And I was like, what do you even do with a newborn? Like, I mean, it's only 19 months ago, but I can't remember, because you're so used to watching them develop and every day is so different, especially at this age. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're learning and their personality is shining so much. And yeah, it's crazy that in such a small period of time, you forget everything.
Yeah.
You absolutely forget everything.
Yes.
I do remember, though, because I am a huge sleeper, and obviously that's gone out the window now, but I do remember one thing. Everyone was like, you're never going to get sleep again. But it wasn't the lack of sleep. It was the broken sleep.
Yeah.
You get sleep.
Yeah.
You don't have to fear. You do get sleep, but it's not, you know, a solid 8 hours or a solid 9 hours.
Yeah.
It's maybe a solid 2 hours if you're lucky, but you do get sleep. And that's the one thing I'm trying to remind myself of now, because my first child sleeps through the night.
Like,
he's amazing. But now my body is waking me up either to pee,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, you pee every hour when you're this late in the game, or he's doing a massive turn.
Yeah. And which I think is kind of like your body getting you ready, like knowing that you're going to sleep. Totally. There are nights when you are up every half hour with the baby.
Yeah.
And they're probably the hardest things. Like I remember in the early days and I was so lucky, touch wood. He was so good always. Yeah. He was a good sleeper, good eater. I'm very lucky. But I still remember those every half hours and the anxiety you felt before a night thinking, is he going to sleep tonight? Yeah. Am I going to produce enough milk tonight? All of that stuff. So yeah.
We put so much pressure on ourselves. We really do when you have a newborn. I mean, as you said, you know, the whole breastfeeding thing, that is a whole different ball game. That is, you know, are you going to be able to do it? Are you going to have enough milk? Is people going to, you know, accept you in public? Because there's that whole still, you know, that stigma of some people don't agree with it and some people promote it. And if you're not doing it, they look at you funny. And
I felt really guilty. I remember one night I had Xander and I was going, I think he was only maybe 4 weeks old or something like that. And it was just before I was about to go into the night, you know, process. And I remember looking down at him and thinking, there's no way I'm going to have enough milk to feed him tonight. Like, I just know that I'm just empty. I've been feeding him all day and I can't do it. And my husband's like, just get the formula.
Yeah.
Just get it. If you need it, if you know yourself, if you feel like you – and I had so much pressure on myself of wanting to make sure I did it enough.
Yeah.
But once I did, that was the right thing for him then. I mean, every baby's different. But once I did, he was sleeping through. So he, for him and his personal experience, he needed to be full to sleep.
Yeah.
And once I got him there, then our lives kind of changed. We stopped doing that every half hour stuff, which is total fucking torture.
I know.
Oh, my God, it's torture.
Jet was the same, though. I gave him formula at night for the first time because I just couldn't produce enough for them. I remember going for coffee with you with our little bubs and they were both the little roundest, chubbiest bubs on the
croissants.
Chairs. Or croissants. And so we were doing good. They were getting fed, you know. It's not like they were starving. But, you know, they were little hungry monkeys.
Oh, my gosh.
And you've got to give yourself a break, and that's what I did. I gave formula, and the first time I gave formula, he slept through the night. And I was like, oh, my goodness, what have I been doing? I've been putting so much pressure on myself when, you know.
Totally. I have to walk around with pieces of ham with Xander now because he's just such a pig. I have to just, like, make it rain with ham in his direction.
I have to admit, your Insta stories of Xander are the best. They're so good.
Such a little piggy.
He's so good.
You had to – you were trying for quite some time before you fell with Jet, weren't
you? Yeah, so we had 3 miscarriages prior to Jet, which was heartbreaking. And I remember when Dane and I got married, I always thought, oh, we'll just wait a while because, you know, it's just going to happen. So let's just enjoy. And I was very career focused and I just wanted to concentrate on that. And so was Dane. And selfish reasons, we were just like, oh, it will happen. It will happen. And then when we finally decided to give it a go, we had our first miscarriage and I was nearly 3 months just when we had that. And I just remember feeling like I had failed, like something was wrong with me. And then we tried straight away, even though it was the hardest thing to do because you're so heartbroken, and then had another miscarriage. And then we did I had a DNC on the second so we could do some testing because our doctors thought that something might have been wrong. And then we went for a third time and then again another miscarriage. And I was just like, what is wrong with me?
Yeah.
Why am I failing? And being such a career-driven person myself and having my own business, you can't really get your head around failure.
Yeah.
And
not being able to fix it.
Yeah. And also I think within our industry, I mean, I was on red carpets wearing an adult diaper and people asking me when I was going to have a child.
Oh, gosh.
Don't wait too long because you're getting older.
Oh.
And you're literally just dealing with a miscarriage.
Oh my God.
So it was a really, really, really hard time. And also with our first miscarriage, I went into emergency and they wouldn't even tell me that I was miscarrying.
Oh
they let me go. And the next day I was on stage talking to 400 people whilst miscarriaging.
Oh, my God.
It was just a horrible, horrible experience. But at the same time, I'm so thankful it happened. And I know that sounds so bizarre, but it taught me so much and it taught me to – it brought Dane and I closer because we were able to really dissect everything that was going on and talk about what we actually really want, and we didn't blame it on each other. And, you know, it was a horrible and heartbreaking time, but at the same time, something I don't regret. Because it gave me my perfect little specimen that I waited 4 times to get.
Yeah.
And the whole time we were pregnant with Jet, we kind of didn't want to jinx it. Like I didn't I was aware of everything that was happening, and I was waiting for that moment that it was going to happen again. But I was so closed off with the three miscarriages, and I didn't know anyone that had been through a miscarriage. So I didn't really speak about it because I thought that it wasn't what had happened wasn't right, and that it was all me. And that's why I'm so open with saying that it happened, because I wrote a big story on my blog about it and the whole steps that I went through, because I felt like talking about it openly actually helped me.
Yeah.
It actually helped me get over what was going on, and it helped Dane as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people came out of the woodworks and were like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for speaking about that. We actually had that. Oh my God, it's really nice to know that somebody else went through that and felt that way and dealt with it, you know, the way you dealt with it, because you do, you get anxiety, get depression, it's such a roller coaster of emotions. So,
and you also feel like maternally, that's your duty in some way.
100%.
And even if you choose not to, it's like a body thing. I have felt that when I was pregnant, I actually felt so calm and so like just connected to him. It just felt so natural to be pregnant. Everyone's different, of course,
yeah.
But I know myself, if I was in the same situation, you just constantly blame yourself because you feel like that would be your duty.
Exactly.
So you feel like you failed in some way.
Exactly.
And
when
not
you
that.
Couldn't carry them, it's like, well, what is wrong? What am I doing? Mm. Am I too fit? Am I not fit enough? Mm. Am I concentrating too much on work? You know, it just – a whole lot of things come into play, and it's such a horrible time, and it's so hard for women because it's so common.
Yeah.
It's so, so common, yet mm-hmm. so many of us go through it alone, and that's why now when anyone asks me, I just have no problem talking about it. It's still not easy talking about it, but I fear that there are so many women going through it or have gone through it, and I think the more we talk about it, the more we realize there is this amazing, you know, knit of women that can really – you know, help you through and show what they've gone through. So,
and are you the kind of parent you thought you would be?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's so funny. I thought I'd be really strict and really pedantic about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that I'm probably maybe sometimes a little bit too relaxed. Because I'm such an organizer. I hate surprises. All my girlfriends will tell you that every time they've tried to organize something for me, it's a nightmare. Like they almost befriend me. I hate surprises. I like everything planned. Mm-hmm. I like a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that I'd be like that with my children. And I'm not. I'm the polar opposite. And Dane was always like, this is going to be great because I'm going to be the loved one, because I'm going to be the cool dad that lets you do everything. And now I'm totally the cool mom. And Dane's like a little bit of a strict one, you know? It's funny. Yeah. What about, do you find you're the same?
I'm the same. I find that I'm very chill about things that other people are really concerned about, and then I'm more strict about something. Like I'm not exactly how I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Like I care about food. I care about that, but I don't care about germs. And like the other day, probably shouldn't share this. He'll kill me when he's older. But the other day we've got this $10 Kmart pool, which is the best $10 I ever spent in my life.
Kmart's amazing.
The best. And he was nude and he jumped out of the pool. It was on our balcony, all enclosed and everything, all safe. Everyone don't worry. But he was out of the pool and my husband had just popped out and I was cleaning a dish. So he was sitting nude beside the pool playing with some toys. And it was quiet and I was literally cleaning a dish and I look over the bench and he had shit. And he was rubbing it into the balcony and he was literally covered in shit. Covered in shit.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, this is what I used to fear, these kinds of moments. And it's happening to me because I let him, you know, he's always nude. Yeah. So it's going to happen eventually. And the icing on the cake was that he was completely covered in shit. And I go over to him and I'm
going
to
no pun
off.
Intended, icing on the cake.
Yes. And he wants to eat blueberries at the same time.
Oh,
so
no.
there's a container of blueberries and he's trying to get them. Anyway, that was my moment of maybe I'm a little too chill when it comes to that
but
kind of stuff.
Don't you think as well, like I remember my nephew who's 5 now, when he was first born, I had to bath him one night and he did a poo in the bath. And all I could do was scream code brown, and I just didn't want to touch him. I didn't want to touch the bath. I knew I couldn't run away, but my first inkling was I wanted to run as far away from this bath as possible. And I just kept yelling for my sister to just come back.
It.
Come back and fix this. There's the poo. And don't you think now it's like poo is something you deal with every day.
Day.
Like I remember I was changing a nappy of Jet's and the doorbell rang and it was, thank goodness I make friends with all my courier drivers. So this guy from DHL came to the door and he just looked at me and I was like, what's wrong?
Oh God.
And he's like, nothing. And then he was really awkward. Normally we banter for hours, like he's great. And then I walked inside and I was like, that was really strange. Anyway, about no word of a lie, an hour later, I go to the bathroom. I have shit all over my face. Baby shit all over my face. And I had been wearing it with pride for about an hour, answering the door to couriers, and no one had told me that there was baby poo
actual
on my face.
Shit like, on
thanks,
my face.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Oh my God, people tell you these stories. They say that these things will happen to you as a mother and you're like, probably not.
I'm like, no, I would know if there was shit on my face. Like, I don't like shit. I would know, but there I was rocking the shit. It's like now when I go to events, like being a mom, you're not worried about like your eyelash coming off or your lipstick not being on. Now you're worried about shit on your face or shit on your hands.
Literally.
Constantly in the car going, okay, I'm about to walk a red carpet. No,
do I have
hands
shit on
are good. Face is good. Like, makeup's on, yes, but there's no shit on there,
oh
so that we're
God.
Winning.
And Xander's in a role turn stage where we're changing nappies and he just has to be anywhere where they're meant to be. So you literally are dodging shit.
Yeah.
It's a whole
or thing. When they put their hand down there when you're mid-change.
Yeah.
As if like, look what I found.
Yeah.
It's like, I know what that is.
Mummy knows.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So when you think back into the last year and a half with Jet, almost two. How old is Jet? It's not two yet.
No, he's 19 months now.
Yeah. What do you think has been probably the most challenging part thus far?
Definitely the juggle.
Yeah.
Learning how to be a mum and learning how to work.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said before, I thought that that would just come naturally.
Yeah.
And it was probably one of the hardest things I did.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a long time to actually figure it out. And I think, again, we put so much pressure on ourselves. Because you fear that I should be there looking after my son or I should be doing this and then I shouldn't be going back to work. But at the same time, you need to make money.
Yeah.
And I love my job.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to go back and I wanted to be present and I wanted to, you know, keep my mind active. But then there's so much guilt that comes with it. And then how do you learn to juggle that? You know, how do you learn to not feel that guilt and how do you learn to, you know, what to do with your kid? Like, do you put them into daycare? Do you get a nanny? Do you know? It's just that juggle was really, really hard.
Yeah. And there's no real right answer for everyone.
Everyone's
like,
different.
I need to be working. That's better. Makes me a better mum, better wife, better friend, I think.
Mm.
But also my sister, for example, she doesn't need to work. She wants to be with the kids full time. And that's great too. That works for her. So trying to figure out in everybody else's kind of rules what works for you is a whole other
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I think this time around, going off everything that I did with Jet, it's going to be easier because I have a little bit of knowledge going into it. It's never easy leaving a newborn or, you know, leaving a baby or doing that. But I feel like I – and we don't have family here.
Mm.
All my family's in New Zealand as well as my husband. So we don't have, you know, nanas that can come and look after them. When nana's here, oh, my gosh, it's heaven. It's amazing. But we don't have that. So – I feel like now I've got a good little routine with him. I love the daycare that he's in.
Mm.
We've got a beautiful, beautiful nanny. So, and she's so excited for the newborn. So I feel like this time around going into it, you have more knowledge and we have now, you know, some good, you know, people around us to help. So
yeah,
hopefully it'll be easier.
The lifestyle that you lead, you've kind of created this career for yourself where you can have, you know, you do have appointments and things you have to go to.
Mm.
You do have to be at specific things, you host and all the rest, but you've molded this career so that you kind of are able to move things around as well.
Oh, exactly. Like the good thing is I can work it in with my time frame. Mm. You know, I don't work a 9-to-5.
Mm.
So I'm very lucky in that aspect. And I just love being creative as well. So this time round, the plan was, but it's not working. Don't you love that? You make plans and you think, this is amazing. I'm so onto it.
It's like a birth plan.
I started a kids hat company and I thought, this is going to be great because I'm going to be technically on maternity leave and I can just plod along with this hat company. I'm 2 weeks out from having my second child. And this hat company is going really well and it's not helping because I'm still working. I've now created this company that's doing well. So at night when I should be putting my feet up because they look like giant trees, I'm in my office at home like trying to pack up orders, and then I've got a 19-month coming in and like throwing the orders around and thinking it's like the best thing. I'm like, what have I done? Like, why can't I just sit still? Why can I not just like enjoy a week off? No.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you find a bit of, when you had Jet, a bit of an identity, not an identity crisis, but a kind of trying to figure out where you played a role in all of the work and mum and wife and stuff?
Yeah, I never really – it's funny. Like, once we went through all the miscarriages, I kind of thought, oh, I'm not meant to be a mum. Okay, this is fine. And I just didn't think that was on my card. So when Jet came around, all I could think about was, like, I'm a mum. Mm-hmm. Like, this is amazing. And for the first, I think it was about 6 months, like all I could focus on was him. I didn't even think of anything to do with work. And then one day I got like a massive rush of anxiety. And I was like, why am I feeling like this? And then I realized I needed more. I needed to feel me again. I needed, you know, I'd given myself up for this little baby. And I realized then that I was actually missing my job and missing that independence.
Yeah.
So I felt like that was just whipped away from me straight away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I thought, okay, I'm going to slowly get back into this. And I did. And I started, as you said before, becoming like a better mum and a better wife, because I myself was content and I wasn't blaming everything and I wasn't, you know, feeling locked up and feeling like I had nothing anymore, that my job now was just to stay at home and to change nappies
and dodge
to constantly sound like a cow with, you know, expressing. Can we just talk about how bad that expressing noise is?
Oh, my gosh.
That's just in any mum insane.
It's so funny how you get so used to just having your boobs out constantly and this
I know.
Sucking away.
And just constantly leaking.
And people just reaching in. Like, after I just had given birth, the nurses would just basically just reach in your top and help pull one out for you. Like, you weren't capable
and
to do that
anymore.
And just
shove
them on. You feel like a
no
proper
one warns
milk.
You about that, do they?
No.
Because I don't like my boobs being touched. I'm like a very, like, stay away. And I just remember lying there. And obviously, you can't feel anything. Yeah. And you're just, like, looking there, watching this nurse just going for a grab and whip it out. And you're like... Yeah. I felt like I was in a hallway. I didn't even know where I was. I said to Dane after, where did they take us after the operation, you know, when they got all handsy with my boobs and whipped them out? And he's like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, I feel like people are walking past. He's like, no, babe, you were in another room. And I'm like, really?
That's the drugs, probably.
Yeah. I said to him, I was like, do you remember going back to the room? And he's like, no. I was like, I just remember looking at this baby just going, oh, my God, you're the best thing I've ever done. How did I manage to do this? Must have done something right.
It's magic.
Because you were pretty phenomenal. And that's all I remember. And I swear I thought that one thought. And then I was back in the room and I was like, did that just happen? Like I said to Dan, can we look at the photos? Like, did everything just happen? Did we get our selfie?
Yeah,
no, we did.
Most importantly. And how have you felt about your body changing? Because obviously your body changes when you have babies.
Yeah. That was something I struggled with the first time because I'd always been a certain weight. I've always been like really active, really. I love fitness. And then, yeah, your body changes so much. I've always been basically inverted in the boob department. And then all of a sudden I had these Pammy Andersons and I was like, what? I'm so glad I never thought about, you know, fake boobs when I was younger. But this time around, I'm kind of embracing it.
Yeah.
I more than I did the first time. I embraced it the first time. But I think now I know what my body's capable of. I know that it does go back.
Yeah.
Your boobs do go.
Yeah.
Because I did not enjoy having big boobs. But I think you embrace it more and you become more – impressed and in love with your body because of what it's capable of. Like, you've just grown a child.
It's amazing. Like, I still think, like, when I see him sometimes, I still think, I can't believe
I know
that I grew him. To me, it's still surreal in my mind.
And
how?
I think it's like I quietly just pat myself on the back. I'm like, I created you. Yeah. That's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like,
when you're saying no, no, no to me,
yeah.
Xander's all into the no, no, no at the moment. I took him to swimming lessons and I said, okay, ready? We're going to jump off. He's going, no, 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 no. Yes. So even when he's doing that, still, I created you. So I get to choose if you jump off or not.
My son's all done. That's what he says, all done.
All done?
All done. So we'll be going somewhere and he'll just look at you and be like, all done, and walk off. And you're like, no, no, mate, we've just started. We've just started. Like, I've just got here. I've just cooked you. Or I'll like spend the day baking.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud of myself.
Yeah.
And then I'll go to put it in his mouth and he'll just like open his mouth and it will just fall out and he'll look at me and go, all done, and walk off. And I've just slaved making all this food. And I'm like, you little shit. But you know, like, it's so cute as well. And I'm like, where does he get this from? And then Dane will say, oh, I'm all done, babe. And you're like, there it is. You're the problem. You're the problem. But it's such a cute age.
It is such a cute age. You started out modeling before you kind of got into this world that I suppose people would say influencer, but it's kind of a dirty term now. Yeah. It's more than that. It's content creation and all the rest.
Yeah.
Did you feel when you first came into the industry that it was a bit not inclusive?
Yeah, it's hard because I feel like coming from the modeling industry, when I started doing the so-called like blogging and things, it was well before that was even around. Like, I was doing it for 30 Days of Fashion and Beauty, and we were documenting like what we were doing every day because every day was so incredible. You know, one day I'd be on stage interviewing Ava Mendez and, you know, Lara Bingle and Jen Hawkins and then next minute I'd be trying on all these amazing outfits, and it was just a life that, you know, people were interested in. So we started documenting it. And then within sort of 2 years, you started seeing like a whole lot of people coming out and doing this. And I had no idea what I was doing. I like to say I was ahead of the times, but I'm not that smart. I don't know what I was doing. I just enjoyed sharing this crazy life that I still live with people. And so from there, it's funny because nowadays I find myself, I still share a lot, but I find myself very different from where I first started because of this whole influx of social media people, because I feel like it's gone in a not a great direction. I feel like we've lost its organic aspect. I feel like people are showing a fake life.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's healthy or reality. So it's funny. I've kind of stepped back a little bit, but at the same time trying not to go into the next realm of it all, because it's so fast moving and it's so there's just things happening all the time. But I think all these young girls that are basically the Insta models that are in bikinis, it's not healthy.
No, no.
You know, it's not healthy. And do you even know what they're advertising? Yeah. Because I have no idea what they're advertising.
No.
So for me, it's always been about sharing my personal adventures, my life, and trying to remain as natural and as organic as I can be. So sure, I advertise products, but they're products that I've trialed and tested and actually enjoy or like. I always say when it's a sponsored post. And I think that's important because I myself don't want to be on Instagram and being falsely, targeted for a product that isn't very, very good. So you've got to put yourself in these positions. And I think it's crazy looking at how much it's changed from when I first started, when it was just this carefree kind of, watching someone's life and, wow, that's pretty cool, to now being this, I don't know, I don't even know how to describe it. Sometimes it makes me mad.
Yeah.
Just looking at this industry.
Yeah.
And what we've created from it. But I'm trying to still remain true to myself and true to my followers on what I'm trying to portray. So.
And what you believe in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and putting yourself out there in that way too, though, means that you're exposed to comments from people and feedback 100%. From people. And I think that you were speaking before about, I read in some articles that you were attacked when you were talking about being diagnosed with cervical cancer. What happened there?
That was an interesting one because obviously I kept that to myself for so long because I needed to deal with that. And then when I finally decided to speak openly about it, it was with Clio magazine. And we did an article, and no, I didn't get paid for it. And I just wanted to share my story to hopefully help some other young girls out there who think they're invincible like I did, and to make them aware that pap smears, can change lives. I got horrible feedback saying that I should die of a real disease. It was horrible. And I think when you go through something like that, you're so vulnerable and you finally allow yourself to open up and talk about it. which does help you, but hopefully your intention is to help others, and then you get that kind of feedback. It was really hard, and it was tough as well because I had so many beautiful, amazing cancer charities reach out to me saying, "We loved your story. You know, would you be involved?" And I really wanted to be involved, and I said I'd be involved quietly, silently, but I can't be involved openly with you and advertise that I'm our connection because I don't think it's great for me or your charity. So it was really tough.
Have you had other situations like that since then where people have come for you?
You know what? I kind of take it with a grain of salt now because when I, like with Instagram, as we were talking about before with social media, when I finally had Jet, you're proud of what you've created. So, you know, you do showcase that. Mm. And I had followers just being like, "Oh, you're so boring now. I used to follow you for this and this and this. And now, you know." And I just wrote back going, "Completely understand. But I'm a mum now and I'm pretty proud of this. Like, this is my best job yet. This is the best thing I've done yet. So I'm going to, you know, talk about it." I had people writing to me just saying, "Oh, this is so boring now. This is so boring." I'm like, well, I've always been proud of, you know, showcasing the real me. And clearly you don't like the real me now, so, you know, like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But it's funny. Yeah, you do put yourself out there for criticism. But at the same time, criticism is good.
Mm.
You know, you've got to, I think, once you've been in the industry for a long time, instead of looking at it as a negative aspect, you've kind of got to dissect it a little bit and be like, okay.
It's part of it.
Yeah. And don't take it too personally.
Yeah. I put an Instagram video up recently of Xander. We went to Noosa and he was on the beach nude and he was crawling away so you could see his butt. And some people had a couple of things to say about that. Oh, but I think, goodness. You know what? I'm from the Gold Coast. We all do that on the Gold Coast.
We still do that, don't we?
Yeah, right?
Is that casual Saturday?
So I think it's all part of it. I wasn't offended by it because I realized that, you know, it's part of people have the access to you and that's fine. And I'm not like you. I'm not an actual, you don't have huge numbers or anything like that. But it's interesting to be part of that world. You kind of have to accept both things, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. Once everyone now being able to have an opinion will have an opinion. And that's totally fine. And you can't stop that. Mm. So you kind of need to learn to figure out how to protect yourself from it. And that's just by taking the criticism and finding some good in it.
Yeah.
Because there's no other way.
No.
If you take the criticism and you take it on board, it just affects you.
So. Yeah. And you've got to live under the weight of that. They don't have to. They just move on to the next person.
Exactly. They're sitting there scrolling through, commenting on a whole lot of people's. And that's what you got to remember. They're not just – and they're taking the time to reply.
Yeah.
I mean, they're investing their time in you. It's like, really? Okay. Yeah. Take that as a compliment rather than, you know – a negative. So
are you going to take time to have a minute after you have the baby?
I thought I was going to have some time leading up to the baby, but this isn't going very well. I've still got about 4 jobs to get through.
Oh, my God.
I know, and he's due in 2 weeks. So, but then after, yes, at the moment my first job is 2 months after, and it's actually looking like it's overseas with the babies.
Oh, wow.
Yes, so we're covering a resort. I can't really say who yet.
Yeah.
But we're covering a resort. So we're taking the whole little fan family.
Amazing.
Because I think holidays are all about that. And I'm so fortunate with my job as well, especially the travel side of it, to take the family. So.
Yeah. And there's nothing better than being on a resort with your family where there isn't a lot of external places. Like, we took Xander to New York last year and so lucky. He's so lucky to go. We're lucky to go. But not the place for a 1-year-old. Not fun. Not fun at all. And it was freezing and he was just strapped to me the whole time. And it was just a complete different experience. Yeah.
But you'd rather take them.
They're not. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I see some families that, you know, they have babies and they just want that escape with their husband. And I get that too.
Yeah.
But for me, I feel like I want them. I want to create memories with them. I didn't have you know. Like, Dane and I have had our holidays. They were fun. But, you know, now these are different holidays. These are
Fiji holidays, island holidays, so we just all go on a pool for the day.
Exactly, just creating new memories. So first job is 2 months after, so we'll see how we go. I don't even know if we can get a passport in time.
Oh, yeah, true, but, true. Yeah. I'm sure you can rush it through.
Yeah, so hopefully there will definitely be obviously like 6 weeks downtime from the recovery, but, you know, I've still got the hat company, which I stupidly started.
Tell us more about that.
So with Jet, I couldn't find any cool hats when he was born. Like, I really struggled to
we
find.
We spoke about this actually when I saw you, because I was trying to find a hat for Xander.
And all I could find was, like, don't get me wrong, Jet still wears his Kmart bucket hat. But, you know, not that cool. Like, I wanted to give him street cred, and my husband's obsessed with hats. And he has, like, all these really cool hats. And so I'd look at him and I'd be like, why can't we find, like, basically your hat in a mini size? So Dane was like, well, there you go. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, there you go. You just came up with an idea. And I was like, oh.
There's a hobby for you while you're giving birth.
I didn't really want to take this on. But, yeah, I created this basically very cool adult hats for kids, and all sun safe, and but really cool kind of street style hats. And we called it Rattle and Bones.
Awesome.
Because we just thought it was a cool street name. And Rebels with a Cause, meaning we donate money to a chosen charity every year. So this year we've teamed up with Food Bank. So every purchase we donate money. So it's like Rebels with a Cause as well, which was like a nice way of giving back and making it more meaningful. And now we're just working on like newborn hats as well, which have like the sun flaps, but they're cool because they're very French Fresh Prince of Bel-Air with the peak at the front. I go way too far. I get really into this stuff. And Jet luckily loves hats. Like he comes into my office and tries them all on. But we wanted to create something that was also like works for mums and bubs. So you can go on and you can get like a plain hat and then create like with patches, design your own. So like I remember Xander loves bumblebees.
Yes.
So you can like grab a bumblebee and then grab like, you know, an X and then like a little teddy bear and like an ouch plaster and create your own hat. So parents are actually having fun creating something that
personalized.
You know, for their kids. So we wanted to create that. So that's what I did, stupidly.
It's a good keepsake too. I like keeping everything of Xander's, like all the memory stuff. I've got all these paintings that he definitely didn't paint on the wall. Yeah. And like he actually at care, they sent home this green log thing the other day that he made. I'm not sure what it's meant to be, maybe a frog. But I keep all that shit because I love it. So it would be great but to have a nice one.
Yeah. What do you say? You two say my hats are like logs? This isn't going down well. Let's end this now.
Like a nice memento of that time in their life, you know?
Totally. And I think it's also good for like a little bit of a laugh. We have a Jet box and we've got the same in there and we open it sometimes and straight away we just start laughing. We're like,
what
you know,
is
just
this?
Even photos of them when you thought they were super cute and you were so wrong. I remember Jet's first Santa photo. We were like, oh my God, he's so adorable. Look at him. And now we look back at it and we're like, Uncle Fester and braces. Like, what were we thinking? And this child was going through clearly a fat, ugly stage and we were just like, our ugly duckling was just the most beautiful thing ever.
You were going to love goggles on.
Yeah. Oh, like I did an event once and it was a photo that made it to the paper of me, my girlfriend Jodie and Jet. And we were like, oh my God, he's so adorable. People are going to look at this photo and just be like, oh my God, what a cute kid. And then I found this article the other day and I was like, mortified. Like he looked like a stunned possum, like an Uncle Fester stunned possum. And I was like, oh my God, the love you have for your kids when they go through all these growth things is hilarious and it's so good to keep.
Totally. Xander once had this like weird fringe thing going on. I thought it was the cutest thing ever. And I saw it yesterday through Facebook memories. I was like, oh dear. Like he's got quite a nice.
And let me guess, you combed that down just to make it even more.
Awful. Like, and it was only just at the front of his head. It was awful.
Well, even the outfits you put them through. Like, I consider myself, hopefully, someone, you know, of a little bit of styling in the fashion industry. So I was so stoked to, you know, be able to have, like, something that I can dress up. Some of his outfit choices have been terrible. And you can't blame that on him, you know. You can't sit there and go, dude, what were you thinking? Like, you know that's on you. It's so bad.
Thank you, Nikki. Thanks so much for coming. I could talk to you for hours.
I know, right? It's been lots of fun. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to Raw Talks. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to like, rate, and subscribe. And of course, share with friends too.